What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
I am in a very basketball mode right now. I may or may not be watching the playoffs as we record this podcast.
Currently, you're yeah. So just in the middle of this, you're gonna be screaming obscenities at, or maybe not. Maybe.
Well, my team already lost. Yeah, they were a bunch of bums. Just a bunch of lazy, good for nothing. No, I'm just kidding. They're yeah. You know.
I realized while watching this, I don't think I could name a single person playing a sport outside of LeBron James right now. And I probably can, but I have no context for like, for like who these people are or what. It's a huge blind spot that I've had for so long. And the older I get, the more I realize that I could try a little bit harder. You know what I mean? Like I could like watch a game or something, you know?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I mean, look, the other thing, I play basketball all the time now, and I will say I get very into it, and every time I play, I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. You know, there is something about the like I'll be watching players do certain moves, and I'll be like, I could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you start to get the like, maybe I should play professional? Like, do you start feeling like...
No. I would get destroyed. I mean, these people are like 6'8". You know what I mean? They can jump 12 feet in the air. I can't do that. But I can beat up on some, you know, white boy comedians. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right. You like going in on the white boy comedians. They can't touch you. They can't quite touch you. Okay.
And I think I've already told this story on here, but like, you know, when I was a kid, when I was in eighth grade and I never played basketball before, when I first started, my friend's dad was the coach, and my friend eventually told me that he picked me early because he thought I was going to be good at basketball because I was black.
Pre-growth
spurt, you know. And I was like, well, but I was bad in the tryouts. And he was like, yeah, he just thought you were having an off day.
Wow. Just gave you the benefit of the doubt.
And yet, maybe that was my origin story because it was like, I got it. I felt the same way about dancing. It was like, I can't just not be good. Like, I got to.
Yeah. I have to be able to do something.
You know what I mean? I have to be able to play a little bit. You know what I mean? I need people to look at me and go, oh, he got game. This is something I needed at the time.
You didn't have to pause and say it like it was the title. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have just said, they have to look at you like he got game. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have to do the... Because that's just a saying that people say.
I feel like that's what I... What do you... I don't know.
No, you presented it.
I'm just saying that every time I play, you know, I am conscious of how the other people around me are thinking about me. I need them to hear in their mind, damn, he got game.
Okay, so hold on. Now in this scenario, they're hearing someone else say,
however their inner monologue presents themselves, whether it's, you know, their own voice, their mother's voice, you know, the voice of Morgan Freeman. I don't know. I'm just saying, I want them in their heart of hearts to feel and just know deep down inside that Jonathan Braylock, he got game.
All right, we must put an end to this immediately. We must. How do we get out of this one?
I think like this. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Drop Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
He got game. Michael Jordan.
Wait, what?
He got game. Michael Jordan.
Is that a line in the movie?
It's a quote. Michael Jordan says, it's the only line he has in the movie.
You are correct. That's right. And I couldn't tell if he said it for the movie or if they just...
Yeah. Well, it's because they were able to get like Charles Barkley to say like a line for the movie. Because I don't know anyone in sports really, there were a lot of times where I was like, I guess some of these people are real people and I don't know it and I'm not going to know who they are or if they're, you know, like, are these real? Is that a real coach that's doing that? You know, like they did those like talking heads and stuff. I was like,
yeah,
whoa.
I mean, of course. Yeah.
Some of these people are real, I bet.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure. I want to believe that they were all real. I don't know. I know some of them were definitely real, but I didn't know all of them. And so I was like, it would be hilarious if there was just some of them that were real and some of them that weren't.
Yeah, and you just don't know.
Even though they did have fake schools, you know. This is interesting because, okay, so I don't know if you guys know this. This is a film review podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We review the films of leading Black actors. And we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Race and diversity, Hollywood City. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the voice that you're listening to now, the voice that sounds like he got game.
No.
The voice that sounds like if you try to shoot on him,
okay,
he
where's
will
Gerard?
Block you.
Where is Gerard
that
to
voice,
troll this?
That voice is Jonathan Braylock. Gerard's not here, you know.
He's not.
He usually says Hollywood City, you know. He's not necessarily a basketball player.
Have you played Gerard?
I haven't.
I don't play at all.
He refuses to play.
Okay, I see.
You know. He's vertically challenged, so.
Okay, you don't have to. This is going to get back to him somehow. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be near any of that. But this will get back to him somehow. this voice that sounds like he definitely probably can't play at all. Sounds like he definitely went to a basketball audition wearing dress shoes. That voice is James the Third.
Yeah, and film we are reviewing today is He Got Game, directed by Spike Lee, starring a basketball superstar, Ray Allen.
Yeah, Ray Allen.
As well as Denzel Washington.
Wild. This is like one of, what, three acting roles he did, or did he do more?
Yes, IMDb has him credited as three acting roles. This movie, Harvard Man, and a short of Uncle Drew, Chapter 4. So that's not a real, I'm not counting that. So he's been in.
Yeah, that's probably like a
commercial or something. Branded content. I remember the film Harvard Man.
You do? What was it about?
Well, it's a basketball player strikes a deal with a mob.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
Yeah, and Adrian. How do you say his last name? Grenier?
Grenier, I guess.
Not a great movie.
Well, I feel like I need to watch it now, though.
What can we tell you about He Got Game? It came out in 1998. It's got an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, 83% audience score.
Okay.
Box office, it made $21 million at the box office.
All right. Okay, under budget.
A supposed budget of $22.4 million, according to Wikipedia. These things are always very... There's no sources on this, so...
Yeah.
You know, so according to that, it didn't make a lot of money. It was a rated R basketball film, you know?
Right, yeah. It also doesn't have the, like... it's a basketball film, but it doesn't have the like overcoming adversity. Like, it doesn't have that, like,
it's a basketball film that is not actually about basketball in a way. There's no, it's not like a team. It's not about a team. It's about a single player and him, you know, picking which school he's going to, which college he's going to go to. Number one draft prospect in the country. His father is a convicted felon. He convicted for murdering, for accidentally killing his wife.
Yeah.
His son is the basketball prospect.
Yeah. I mean, initial thoughts. I mean, I guess I'll start. This is my first time seeing this movie all the way through. I don't think I ever watched it knowing what Denzel's deal was, like that he was trying to get. I don't think I ever watched it knowing that the whole point was for him to try to get his son to go to, you know what I mean? Like that. So I feel like I've always missed the beginning of this movie, but I've seen the rest of it several times. Like it was like always on TV and stuff. Denzel in this is so good. I really love his performance. It's really nice to see him play a character. I feel like there's a very particular kind of character that he plays, and it's not always this. And I thought that this was really nice and very, like, it felt very believable in a way, you know, like it didn't feel like he was like putting something on. There are moments in Training Day, for instance, where you're like, okay, well, you're doing a thing. But in this, I don't know. It's like really, it felt really kind of, it just felt very easy and felt like I was watching a person living. In a really nice way. Spike Lee, man, I love that he'll just be like, my scripts are poetry. Like sometimes he'll just be like, this moment's going to break reality for because I want it to. Like, and it doesn't need, we don't need to have all of these like direct to camera sort of things. And we don't need to have all of these, like the literal, like, the magical moment at the end of the basketball, like coming through, it's like, it was really beautiful and nice, and I really liked it, and I love that he doesn't shy away from stuff like that in his films. And I mean, I will talk more about it as we get through it. What struck me in this one in particular was like, wow, he's really playing up this like white women, black man thing, and I. In a way that was, I know that it comes up in other movies of his, but this was like every relationship. It was like almost every time we saw a black man with someone, it was a white woman. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so this was, I think, my first time seeing it too, and I don't know if I necessarily expected anything. There's a really fascinating story here. I love how it is focused on this journey of this young, you know, man who is having to deal with so many really, really tough things. It just is one of those things that really humanizes, you know, black male youth especially, and like shows all the stuff that they are dealing with, and like how easy it is to say something like, you know, well, you know, they got to make better choices, or like, you got to, you know, do the right thing or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to say that from the distance and not think about like how any human being would struggle with all these different temptations and their living situations and all this stuff. So I loved how it presented that. You know, Ray Allen is a basketball player. He's not an actor. It's interesting because Spike has certain muses like Denzel and like, you know, Samuel Jackson. Like, he uses like some really great actors in a lot of his films, but he also like at times it's like, yeah, I'm okay with like putting myself in or like, you know, like people who are not natural actors. I do think it takes away from the movie. Like, not that it wasn't still an enjoyable movie to watch, just that it could have been better. Like I just think, like, I feel like sometimes auteur directors, and Spike is one of them, like, really don't value acting as much as they could. Whatever. That's just, it is what it is.
I don't disagree. There were also points outside of even Ray where I was like, there were like certain people where I would be like, wow, like he just wanted a person to do that. Like he just wanted someone to stand here and say these, like, you know, and I find it interesting. It certainly distracts me from the movie. And I think people that care about acting from the movie, I wonder how, like, someone who has never acted before views stuff like that. Like, I mean, I can imagine that someone looks at the lead of a movie like Ray Allen in this and goes, okay, well, he's not acting, you know, like, and I feel that. But then, like, even for some of these, like, side characters and stuff, I wonder if people are like, woof, that wasn't good. You know, like I have no idea, you know, that came up for me too while I was watching this. I was like, wow, what's the thought process behind this? And it may just be that he is like, yep, I just needed somebody to stand here so that I could make this movie, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, it's still fascinating, a lot of aspects of it. So we'll delve into it. I mean, this movie, I'm trying to remember how it starts with Denzel just shooting in the prison yard.
I did want to say that in the beginning, it starts with a montage of people playing basketball. And the first person we see is a white person. And I thought that was so, I was like, is that intentional? It has to be. But also, I don't quite know what the intention of that is.
I think the intention of it is to show that, like, this, the whole country loves basketball. Like, it's not just a black people sport. Even if black people excel at it, you know, in the pros, like, it's a sport that so many people love to play. And I think a white dude invented it, pretty sure a white American invented it. And, you know, it was like most sports in the United States, like, it was mostly white at first because there was like kind of the segregation kind of thing. Though I think basketball integrated before baseball. Am I lying about that? Actually, I don't know if that's true.
I do not know.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get Earnin'.
Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Yeah, listen, you know, when you get Earnin', you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from Earnin'. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah. Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. you know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Jump under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
I do think to what you said, like it actually maybe that even is the trajectory of that montage. Like it starts with like a handful of white people and we actually see a bunch of white people and then we start to see more black people as it goes on. And it is. And then we start to see like women, you know, and it like sort of is I think it actually probably to your point is following the timeline of the sport itself. Like, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then it cuts to the prison and it's Denzel playing, intercut with Ray playing on his court.
It's so funny. There was like, as much as I love Denzel and think he's a great actor, and like, I think he probably even took the time to really get down that shot that he kept shooting. There's still part of me the whole time was like, this dude was never that good at basketball.
you judging Denzel the actor.
Just like,
That didn't bother me. Well,
it also was so funny. Like, eventually, when he's like, I think he can finally beat you, and then you realize like he was only beating his son when his son was like 10, or 11 or 12. It's like, yeah, of course, like. He's a grown man.
Yeah, but you know what though? It's like he fully even missed the time. He didn't even get that time of like being able to best him for longer for a point when it's like, "Uh-oh, you getting up there, you know?" And that moment when she says that to him and he just looks and like that like whatever existential thing is happening for him. I felt that so hard when like just the thought that like one day they're going to surpass you, you know?
But yeah, so very quickly we kind of get into the warden calls him in. He's like, hey, you know, the governor, you know, there was this little thing of like, did you vote for him? He's like, no, I don't vote. He was like, well, you know, your son is number one. Son's pretty good at basketball. Yeah, he's all right. He's like, yeah, he's the number one prospect in the country. He's like, well, some people rank him now. Other people rank him 2, 3, 6.
Yeah. Still in the top 10.
They're like, all right, well, you know, basically, if you get your son to play for Big State, the name of the fake college, then he'll lessen your prison sentence, which already seems so shady. Because you're like, there's literally zero way.
It's just like, what?
He just doesn't have to do it ever. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just yeah. Like on a hope and a prayer that almost certainly racist white governor is going to lessen your sentence.
It just really is a set. Like the movie starts with this and you're just sort of like, well, it's not going to work out for him, but yeah. I guess we have to see him try to do this.
And so he agrees to do it. And, you know, there's this whole like thing with like, so.
Oh, and I wanted to say, I thought that was so cool that Ron Cephas Jones was that guard. Like he says like two lines at the end of the movie, but we see him for the first time. At the beginning, when he's playing, he's the one with the shotgun, the end. So yeah, he lets him out. I cannot remember the exact order of this, but I feel like we see Ray and Ray's being bombarded with like, where are you going to do? Where are you going to go? And let me tell you, I love, you know, I think Spike Lee's a great writer. Hearing this guy say, I'm just weighing my options. 79 times in this movie, I was just like, I can't. I really could. There was a point, maybe halfway through, when I was like, he's already said it too many times. That can't be his thing. He says in every scene. I can't hear it in every scene. Okay, so I just had to get that off my chest.
You're right. No, it's annoying. Yet realistic, you know, it's like that's a. Good thing for him to say. Somebody taught him to say that. You know, it's the best way of like not letting anybody know anything. I was kind of confused as to how he learned all these lessons, because the coach seemed to be the one like who was filling him in on stuff, and yet the coach then is like pressing
had him in his pocket.
Like,
yeah.
You know, and so I was like, not that you can't learn a lesson from somebody and then that person tried to, you know, undermine their own lesson and you're like, no, you taught me better than this. Like the thing you taught me, I'm holding on to, you know. But it was slightly confusing because I was like, he's really good at this. Like I don't even know if we necessarily get moments of him. I mean, I guess you could say the college, like when he's like sleeping with the other chicks there. But like even that felt like, I don't know. He was like, man, for somebody who had his freaking uncle who raised him after his dad went to jail, like his dad's in jail, his mom is dead. You know, his sister's, he's taking care of his sister. His coach is a sleazeball. His girlfriend is sleazy, cheating on him behind his back. You know, like his uncle doesn't really care about him and is like guilty tripping him. And it's like, I was just like, how is he
juggling any of this? Yeah, this, it's truly wild.
It's so impressive. Like in a way that it was almost felt kind of unrealistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he really is like, he really has the world on his shoulder, like the literal weight of the world at this point. You know, like everything he's known is like, he lost his parents, both of them, you know, 6 years ago, and has been raising his, I mean, I know that they're on the care of his aunt and uncle, but it's like, he immediately took that as like his responsibility. In a way that's like, where did all those lessons come from? Was he just reading, like watching ESPN and stuff? And like,
sometimes Spike can be, sometimes this is the most obvious statement in the world. Sometimes Spike can be heavy handed with the things that he does. And so this felt like one of those things where it's like, it's very heavy handed about how many people are against him. Like, I guess the only person is maybe his aunt. Seems like she was for him and maybe she was the one. But we don't get enough scenes with her, which I think is a disservice to the movie, honestly. I wanted to see more of her, the relationship between those two, because it seemed a little different. And maybe the stuff that his mom taught him. But like, it was also like in the flashbacks, it was like, it just seemed like the lessons that his dad was teaching him are questionable, you know, at best. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're questionable, and they also seemingly only apply to being on the court. Like, yeah, like it only applies to like how you react literally in the moment, you know, while you're playing the game. And yes, some of those principles can carry over into life, like, you know, not letting people, I guess, step to you or get in your head. But really outside of that, it's like, yeah, I don't quite know how it carries over.
But yeah, we see, so, and that is most of this movie. Most of this movie, so would you say he's the main character? Ray Allen is the main character? Or is Denzel the main character?
I feel like Denzel is the main character of the movie. Like, I think Denzel's one, and then Ray is two.
And with Denzel, you know, he gets, so we know that he's in prison for something, I think we find out murder somewhat quickly, though I don't know if we know he murdered his wife until he tells that.
I don't think we know it until there's like a moment when it's said out loud. Like
he tells I forgot the prostitute's name.
Oh, okay. He tells Mila Jovovich.
Yeah,
Jovovich. He tells her.
Oh, she was from Fifth Element. That's what I know.
I think when I heard it was like later, like when I first heard it, it was like when Ray's like, "You killed my mom." Like he says something like that, and I was like, "What?" Like I was like, "Oh my god!"
I don't know when that. He definitely tells Dakota because there's a point where he's like, I went to jail for murdering my wife, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's after Ray says, "You killed my mom." Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see that he's out and with these two guys, they're going to Coney Island because that's where Ray lives and he's, sorry, what is Ray Allen's character's name? Jesus, that's right. You know, he has some money and they give him some money and he has to just convince his son to do this. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like slow in the beginning here. We see like a little bit of interaction with him and Dakota, Mila's character, in the beginning too. And it feels a little like somewhat strange. I mean, we should talk about that in one chunk, their whole dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I don't quite know what it means for him to be drawn to her, or, you know, or like if there's an importance to her being a working woman in this way. But like, I don't know if also like we're meant to see her as the first woman he's seen in a while, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because like he had to like be walking down the street or whatever and seeing other people, but like I don't know, he instantly has like a draw to her. You know, I liked their scenes. I like their first scene together when he's like trying to help and she's instantly like, "Don't try to have sex with me" or whatever it is she said. Like she just immediately thinks that that's what he's talking about, and
yeah, like all guys think their dick is medicine.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then I feel like I, you know, it's only it's I don't know how to say this, but like he makes sure he gets money before trying anything with her, because he's like, that is her job, you know what I mean? Like there's this
yeah
thing,
yeah I gotta have money.
Yeah, like he goes in and does that and tries to be, you know, they only have interacted with each other for 7 days, you know, and
right.
But he also is going about it in a way that's not like, gotta have sex, you know, but he's really trying to like reconcile with the fact that like he feels some kind of connection with this woman, and also like knows that like, you know, this is my last time out. Like I'm not gonna, you know what I mean? There was like a lot of things happening there. I like that she gets out at the end. That feels nice and sweet.
She get out?
I mean, I think she just leaves. I think she just leaves. We just see her on a Greyhound bus. And so the thought is that like she just is escaping.
Okay.
I guess. I don't know. But I guess this is also, though, that the prostitute with a heart of gold trope that, you know, that people find infuriating, right? That happens all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So there is that.
It's also interesting because I'm like, he just needed to have someone to have sex with. It was like, why did he bond with her? Just because she was there, you know, like what was it about her? Because she seems not like the mom at all.
Yeah.
Not that he had to find somebody that was like the mom, but it was just like, it was weird because she was white. Like, I don't know. It was just like it was a strange.
It seemed like there was a lot going on that it's like, you want to start dissecting everything. Like, you know, there was so much happening that it left a lot of questions.
You know, for the race stuff, it was like, so he comes, he sees the daughter first, you know, she takes him to the house, even though she's like, you know, he's going to be mad. Who, brother comes home, is mad. What did I tell you about letting strangers into this house? This little girl gets shook. You're like, man, I feel bad for this little girl.
Yeah.
He apologizes for that eventually too, which is nice.
Yeah. And also like we see later that is what Jake did to him when he was a kid. You know, like literally like that exact movement and action is what directly led to, you know, his mother's death, you know, which is why, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's there. It's in great. It's there in him. You know, it's a part of his upbringing. That just made me think of, I loved that there were so many like little things that the two of them did that Jesus and Jake did that were similar. You know, like every time they did the nose thing, I thought that was so cool. The way they played similarly. Yeah, that's a more positive things that were passed on.
So you open Google Chrome on your phone, you're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with, when you're supposed to be working.
but the site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
When you download the Kroger app, you have easy access to savings every day. Get the most out of weekly sales and receive personalized coupons toward your favorite items, all while earning one fuel point for every dollar spent. Because shopping at Kroger, whether in-store or online, is easy. And saving money is even easier with the Kroger app. So get the most value out of every trip, every time. Download the Kroger app now to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Must have a digital account to redeem offers. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
It's interesting. Like, this is one of these kinds of types of movies that just definitely does not get made anymore. You know what I mean? At least not with this kind of budget, not with a $20 million budget. It's a full character drama. There is no, ostensibly, the premise of the film is that a young man has to choose which college he's going to go to. And there's no big moves at all. Like, throughout the whole film, there's not one move that's,
the biggest one is the inciting incident of the move. Like, the biggest one is like, we're going to let you out of jail for a week. Like, that's so wild that happens. And when you, and if you spend any amount of time really thinking about it, it's like, yeah, this is a fantasy movie. Like, this movie is like, it truly, like, there's no world in which even this would happen for as definitely the commentary on like people in power and how they abuse it and stuff. But there's just no, like, they let him out for a week, you know, anyway. And then the only other thing you're looking forward to in this movie is like them playing basketball together again. And it does finally happen. And that is very satisfying. But
yes, but it's a little over two hours, this movie. And it takes a minute to get there.
Yeah, 2:15, 2:16.
You know, the delay, you knowing what the backstory is for a bit, which is, they're doing that in television too now, where I don't like it. To me, it's not.
Yeah, it's like episode eight is going to be when we finally know that.
Yeah,
thing.
And I'm like, that's not plot. Like, that's only interesting if there are other interesting things happening. You know what I mean? Like, if it's done like the Lost way, where Lost is about people trying to survive on this island and then trying to figure out where the hell they are, what this island is, and all that stuff. And then in the meantime, you're figuring out their backstory, which is fills in their actions on the island, which is makes it very interesting. But because there's nothing else happening, making a decision is not active, obviously. It's just passive. It's just like, I got to make a decision. I got to weigh my options. And so we see, you know, we're seeing all the things getting thrown at him, which again is very, you know, it is very humanizing in that way. But it does make it at times a little bit dull.
Yeah. And to that same point, we also don't really get, like, for as much as we get that, like, you know, this school is offering him women, literally. This school, the coach is offering him money.
This guy's offering him a car, you know.
A car. But that's sort of it. Like, we don't even really get the, like, I'm thinking of even just when you're deciding a school, all of the other things that you are thinking of, which is like, you know, like, what am I getting out of this education? Like, what's my path beyond this? Like, what? And I guess
where do
for him,
I wanna live?
The thought is like, in the MBA is what his path is after school. You know, is I guess assumed. So they aren't even going into that as much. But I'm like, it's like he picks. Spoiler alert, he picks Big State. But, like, I don't even know what that means. Like, it's like, why, you know, why was Big State over another, you know, school?
It doesn't mean much. I mean, he picks Big State because he picks his father. He picks wanting to live a life with his dad again, which is kind of earned, but also, it's like the film is also about forgiveness in a way. Film is about Denzel's character is clearly a very flawed man. He deserves to be in jail, you know, at least if you believe in the prison system. I mean, like, I just seen, like, he wasn't, like, wrongfully convicted.
He needs, there needs to be some kind of
consequence.
Yes, know, thank you. It's
the, for yeah, he, even though it was manslaughter, meaning he didn't, there was no intent to kill, he did, because he was violent, you know, killed his wife, which is horrible because that's living with him, obviously, that pain or whatever. But he was living life clearly in this kind of way of being like, I'm the man of the house, I get to do what I want, don't talk back to me, that kind of thing. And so he's come to, it seems like he's come to peace with that.
Yeah, I mean, he says that he's come to peace with it. Like, he says that line at the end in his last letter of like, one day you'll find your shoes, and I've found mine, and they're hard, or they're tough, but I've accepted them, or whatever. Like, he literally says like something along the lines of like, I have done this, and I'm gonna have to continue to, you know, suffer the consequences of my actions. You know,
again, because it's more realistic, maybe. At least in terms of like, there's not going to be like one big bad guy or whatever. There's no like, it's all character stuff. And again, it's tough because one of the main leads is not an actor, and so
yeah,
he's like, you know, I think about Finding Forrester, because Finding Forrester is a movie that doesn't have a lot of action per se, but I find it more engaging.
And that, and it, to sort of to the same extent, though, Rob Brown is not an actor at this point, you know, but he is, you know, but there are definitely script differences, for one. But then we do see him kind of go on a journey and grow, and like, and he's growing throughout and evolving throughout. Whereas this, literally, Jesus, is the whole time feeling one thing, which is the world is against him and everything is on his shoulders. And then he does choose family, but we don't really see why, you know, like, we don't quite see him even in the game. I guess the fact that he plays it is one thing, you know, the fact that he like decides to play it is taking a step, but you know, and he is sort of giving Jake back to him the things that Jake taught him. But at the end, when he throws the the thing on the ground, and that's no different than anything else he's been doing. Like, when he gives the stuffed animals that Denzel bought for the daughter and like just gives it to someone else, it's like he's been doing that this whole time. So like, I'm glad that he picks family, like, that's nice, you know, it's like a nice thing, but we don't actually, I think it doesn't feel earned necessarily. It doesn't feel,
because
like
we don't see the moment really, and we don't, there's no processing it after necessarily, outside of just, I guess, Denzel's little speech after he beats him and just saying like, it is what it is, like, you choose to accept it or not, you know. And I guess it's kind of like at the end, he's like, maybe feels like, he's like, listen, like, you're gonna, in a weird way, you're always gonna be doing something for someone. Who do you want to be doing something for? I guess, who are you gonna choose to do something for? You know what I mean? Who actually cares about you?
Yeah. And he says, like, you know, do for you, you know, he's like, live for you, you know, and take care of your sister. He is in that moment specifically saying, don't worry about me anymore, you know. But yeah, I guess, yeah, that is in there.
Yeah, it's tough, because like, again, there's not too much to talk about. Like, there's a kind of fun scene with an agent that, you know, his girlfriend sets him up with, who's like trying to convince him to go to the NBA, and basically being like, you can have this house right now. And he's like, no, I need my education, which, complicated. Not saying that he doesn't need an education, but it is complicated, though. Like, this is also a little bit of an ad for NCAA, this movie, in this way that especially now, I mean, maybe not so much back then in 1998, but definitely now in 2022, you kind of look at it and you're like, why shouldn't he go straight to the NBA? Like, if he's that good, why, you know, he can get an education on the side while making hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of going to play for free for some school in which if he takes any bit of money or gift, he will get fined for it. They're going to use his likeness and image to make millions of dollars. The school is, the NCAA organization is, like a bunch of people are about to make free money off of him. And then if he gets injured in school, he's screwed for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, truly, and not even me not even knowing the like the nitty gritty of like what that would even mean for him to play in the NCAA versus going to the NBA right away. That's sort of what I mean by like, I don't know what he gets out of like big state versus another school. Like I kept thinking about like, you know, like what's he going to get out of besides what he learns about, you know, environmental science or whatever class it is that he, you know, takes. But it was just like, what, at the end of the day, what is the point of the like 15 credits a semester he's doing? You know, like when he said like, my education is the most important thing, it's like, yeah, I do agree that we should continue to better ourselves. But like, truly, what is he going to get out of 4 years?
But that's
years
just a thing that people say and that the NCAA has taught people to say of like, this is my education. And again, not saying that people shouldn't be getting educated. Of course they should. But that doesn't mean there's many different paths to getting an education. It doesn't mean he has to immediately, you know, go to college. I think, you know, going to college is definitely, it can be very helpful. Obviously, one, it helps you get better as a player. It can easily help you get better as a player. So you're not going straight to the NBA and then, you know, you're not as good. And then you kind of get kicked out of the league early on. That's a possibility. It doesn't usually happen to people who are so good that they can go straight to the NBA, like LeBron or Kobe, you know, Tracy McGrady or whatever. But like, you actually have to think about it. It's not just this, like, I have, like, anybody who goes straight to the NBA is an idiot, you know, like, they didn't get an education. It's like, does anybody think that LeBron or Kobe, like, didn't do, like, weren't educated or, like, didn't do a bunch of things after their career? Like, and I'm sure they got it. I don't even know this. I didn't even look it up, but I'm sure they got educations. You know what I mean? Like, while they were playing, you know, while they were professionals.
But also just sort of thinking about the aftermath as well. It's like, the, you know, I mean, even just talking about LeBron, you know, he owns a company. He, you know, like there's so many things, you know, that he got out of building his career first.
The whole, like, he could get in trouble for accepting it. And that's a thing that happens, right? Like, players get kind of, their reputations get tarnished because they found out that they took a car or got a gift, yeah, or whatever.
Now, what about LeBron James's Hummer? Y'all remember, I think I've talked about this a couple times on the pod, but where did that Hummer come from? Like, was that one of those things he shouldn't have accepted? One of those gifts?
Well, he didn't go to college. Did he get a Hummer in high school?
No, he got the Hummer in high school. Yeah, he got the Hummer in high school.
Right. For picking a high school? I don't know.
He got, but it was like, it would have been around this time, you know, it would have been his senior year. And when he was trying to decide what he was doing next, next thing we knew, he was riding around in a yellow Hummer. You know what I'm saying? It was like all over town. Every time if you saw the Hummer, you know, that was a badge of honor or something. Wait, but we have to talk about Rosario Dawson as his.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She was great.
She was great. And like, she really was so good. And not to bash Ray for not being an actor, but in that last scene, her last scene, I thought there were points where I thought she's only pulling back because she's in a scene with a non-actor. Do you know what I mean? Like that last scene on the bench, like there was like, there's like one moment of her like being like, of it really picking up. And I was like, whoo. And seeing, like knowing what she goes on to do, it was like, yeah, she's pulling her punches right now, like in this scene. Like she's just not going for it as to not be like completely like doing laps around this guy.
That one shot of when she's on the phone and the hand kind of comes up and it's like on her fit, that was great. That was a shot of the phone.
Come on, Spike. Come on, Spike. The hand was like disconnected. Like it was not a part. We don't see where the hand was coming from. We just see a hand on her neck. It was wild. And she, and the breakup too. I've had a breakup like this when she was like, she's like needed to kiss him before saying goodbye. You know what I mean? And he like didn't want to. She's like, come here, come. Like she was like mad that he wouldn't do it. Like I was like, oh yeah, I understand. I get that.
She also was just full on no shame that she had cheated on him.
Because she, but she also, but she knew that he had
but
to.
But that happened after she had cheated on him. At least I say it. And he's like, what does that matter?
Yeah.
I kind of agree with him. I'm like, what does that matter? Because you're shameless? It makes it better? It's a Donald Trump effect.
She also was like, you made me get rid of our baby. But then he's like, but then he's like, but how did we get pregnant to begin with? I was like, this is too much. There's too much happening. There was too much happening in that scene for me. It was so much.
It felt somewhat like loosely scripted in this way that I was like, he can't pull this off.
You can't just tell them to be like, eventually bring up the baby. Like you can't have the bullet point bring up the baby and no lines.
There was like one moment where he said something and she was responding to something else, and then like they had to like go back to it. I was like, all right, guys. I wish I could remember the lines, but I was like, whoopsies. Anyway, we watch too many movies, guys. That's why we catch
these
things.
That is the problem.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
This can happen sometimes for me, especially with things, but like truly those last 2 minutes of this movie, for as on the nose it is, I mean, him stepping out of bounds to throw the ball over the fence, literally having a gun trained on him for stepping out of bounds, you know, and the ball going to his son in college. You know what I mean? Like there was just, I was just like, and there it is. And that's the movie. You know, I was like, and that's why I waited 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Are we supposed to believe that he did get shot there and he's dead?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I do think, because we do see him walk back. We do see him walk back and cross the line. And so to me, it just felt like it was the movies trying to acknowledge like he did everything he passed on to him. The good stuff that he passed on to him he is going to be able to now soar with this. You know, he's going to be able to fly with the good things that he passed on to him.
But we are supposed to believe that he's not going to get out of jail.
Oh, no. He's not getting out of jail. He's in jail until his sentence is up, which who knows when that is. Is it ever going to be up? Like, because also now, at least in the public, he tried to escape, you know? And so, like, is he going to get ramifications for that? You know, like that.
That's wild that they just. We're like, well, he escaped prison.
Insane. And then, I had the same thought though when he's playing basketball with his son. Like, it's like, this is gonna make the news. Like, you're calling him son out loud on the court, surrounded by people. Everyone knows his dad is in jail. Like, everyone knows that. Like, you can't play a basketball game with the number one prospect. Like, you just can't do that. So yeah, so like, and then, you know, the second the warden dies, he's fucked. Like there's no that warden dies, and then, you know, aren't you the guy that escaped? Here's another however many years or whatever. Like that's yeah, anyway.
All right. Well,
anyway. Ron Cephas Jones delivering his lines at the end. Stay over that line. He crushed it. I don't know. Do you want to talk to Hollywood? Do you want?
Sure, I'll talk to Hollywood real quick. Hey, Hollywood, just so you know, I understand sometimes it's like, hey, let's get a real basketball player. Let's get a real person to play this role. Hey, once in a blue moon, that joint works. Mostly it doesn't, though. So can you discuss actors? Please, especially black actors, because there are a lot of really talented black actors who can just play the roles that you want to do.
Most of the time it doesn't. There are, I mean, you know, there are plenty of people out here who are actors trained, you know, and there just gets to be a point where you kind of can't call yourself an actor anymore because you haven't been, you know, or you start to feel weird calling yourself an actor because you haven't been cast in something. So I agree with that.
But like some Instagram model can call themselves an actor because they've been in stuff even though they can't act. I don't know, man. That's just the world we live in. That's the world we live in.
Well, let me just say, you know, for like I said, I really liked it, but there's just one thing that I would have liked changed, you know. So
I hope you're not going here because this is way too easy.
No. So what do you mean? What do you mean way too easy? What?
I mean, it's...
I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, great.
But there's a point in the movie.
You do know Shaquille O'Neal is in this
film. The movie.
Right.
And there's a point when he's like, you know, like, this kid's really good. You know,
yeah.
Whoa, man, this kid's going to the next level. And then we cut to, so it's at the end. So Denzel, you know, is like, is stepping over the, he's out of bounds. He's stepping out of bounds.
Yeah, literally says out of bounds.
He steps out of bounds.
Says out of bounds.
Come on. He steps out of bounds and they're going to shoot him. It's incredible. Okay. They're going to shoot him. Okay, it's fine. He throws the basketball over the fence. And Ron Stevens Jones has the gun up and he's like, you better get back. Shuttlesworth, you know, whatever it is he's saying. And then we just hear a voice. We hear a voice go, that's far enough, Ron Stevens Jones. He's like, are you calling me by my... He's like, are you calling me by... Who is Ron Stevens Jones? I'm a security guard. He's like, you better back up, Ron Stevens Jones. And then he picks up his... It's Steel, but I didn't say who it was. It's Steel. So it's you know,
Steel
it's,
or
it's
is
Steel.
It basketball player Shaquille O'Neal who's in this film?
It's Steel, but he takes off his thing and you're like, Steel? And he's like, I'm Shaquille. Sort of in the same way that he was calling Ron Cephas Jones. Ron Cephas Jones is like, it's actually me, Shaquille O'Neal. And then he throws a hammer. It knocks the gun out of Ron Cephas Jones' hands in the tower. The gun goes spiraling, you know, yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada? What? That... Yada, yada, yada?
Yada, yada. You know what I mean? Pop, 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 you know, and then...
And then what?
And then Shaq grabs Denzel.
You have no idea where this is going.
And then they jettison out.
What do you mean jettison?
Because he's wearing the Steel uniform, you know what I mean? So they, you know, he
Wait,
turns on
can
his...
Steel fly?
Steel can fly. Wait, can he? Wait. He shoots.
I thought he had a grappling gun, but wait, he fly? Did Steel fly?
This Steel
right,
can fly.
Right, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
This Steel can
fly. Enough. Gerard's already mad that I let this go on too long. Thank you, guys. This right now is time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether it helped the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if we feel like the film fully helped the cause, leading black actors in Hollywood, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If we feel like it didn't help the cause, we don't give it anything. All right, so on the count of three, we'll raise our review for He Got Game. And a one, and a two, and a three.
Pass the rock. Okay, so it's one rock and one palm.
One black fist and one white palm.
I will say that I did think about giving this a palm because literally one of the leads is not an actor. And the movie didn't make money. So those two things are sort of, if we're talking about the cause, it's right. Literally not the cause.
Okay.
But Written and directed by Spike Lee. Okay. Starring Denzel. Hill Harper is in this. You know, what's her name? Played Zelda Harris is in this. You know, so we got some, you know, we got some black love in this movie.
Man. Yeah, listen, I gave it a palm because obviously that's the correct reading.
Don't say correct.
Well, I mean, you know, Ray Allen was in one other movie after this and it was not the lead. You know, Denzel is Denzel. So, you know, it gets a palm because Denzel is still in it and doing things and Spike is in it and gets to make some more films. But it wasn't a huge success. And it's not like, you know, Rosario Dawson was in it. She probably had, you know, some.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson. Boom. So, rock, baby.
I gave it a palm. It's all right. Great. Well, thank you all so much for listening. No thanks to Jara, who isn't here.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
The amount of shade. On the He Got Game episode.
Listen, we have a Indiegogo fund. If you go to blackmanpodcast.com, you will find a link to that campaign where we are raising money for our short film called The Threshold. It is about three black men who are on vacation and realize that the house they're staying in is killing white women.
Oh, no.
It's crazy, y'all.
It's crazy. It's a comedy. It's funny. It's funny. So please, well, so it's also
it is it's a comedy.
Horrifying.
If you go there, you also see a link to a defunct Patreon. $5 a month, you get to listen to a year's worth of episodes, and then unsubscribe whenever you want. There will be no
if
new episodes.
If 200 people tweet at me,
okay, this is
200 people. No, we're at like 8 or 9 people. Now, okay.
So sad.
If 200 people tweet at me, we will revive the Patreon. You got to tweet at me though. You got to tweet at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD. Okay. You got to do tweet at me.
Okay. If you rate and review us on iTunes, give us 5 stars. We'll read your review on the air. Did I read this one? Cordero CL18.
I don't recall.
Amazing. This is such a great podcast. Raw, funny, honest, and entertaining on many levels. Always excited to listen. I highly recommend for anyone to listen to.
Thank you. That's really sweet.
That's really, yeah, short and sweet. Yeah. But follow me at John Braylock, johnbraylock.com.
And I'm at James Third Comedy. Third is 3RD. I am on TikTok, but the thing is, why? You know what I'm saying? Like, why am I on TikTok? You know?
That's where all the kids are. And Elon Musk just bought Twitter, so...
I guess then that's where I'm jumping ship. I'm jumping ship.
All right. We'll see you all next week. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever Dog.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!